Oh, it's a real joy to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a long time. How did you feel when you drove in the place today? Didn't you just kind of feel like you could say amen and turn around and drive back? Oh, like you just had all the blessing you could possibly get for one day's time. That's the way I feel every time I come out to Glen Eyrie. It is such a beautiful place. And isn't it wonderful to know that such a beautiful place as this belongs to Jesus Christ? I think that makes it even more special. Okay, we are going to be taking notes today. I hope that you brought paper and pencil. This is a study on prayer, and I would encourage you to take notes as we go along. I would like you to be able to understand in your own heart just exactly what prayer is, as well as being able to explain to your children or anybody else who asks you. You know, you will forget 87% of everything I say by tomorrow, so that's why I'm asking you to take notes. I don't think so. I don't know. Does anybody have extra pencils? You can kind of pass them around. There's a pencil right there. Okay, before we get started today, let's do bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we are so grateful for this beautiful day. We thank you so much for the opportunity of being here, of being able to worship together. We think of the many countries around the world, Lord, that do not have this freedom. And so we are grateful for it. We thank you for bringing each person here, and we thank you for the message that you have for us today. We look forward to it with real anticipation in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I like to call this a study on prayer. And let me ask you, first of all, what is your definition of prayer? If someone were to ask you, what is prayer, what would you say? If your child should ask you that, what would you say? Anybody have any ideas? Any brave soul? What? That's a beautiful definition, Renee. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's just talking with God. And I think many times we make something so mysterious out of prayer. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. I like to think of it as a conversation between two friends who know and love one another. One of the most amazing truths that we'll find in God's Word is the fact that God desires to have fellowship with us. Do you know that? That the God of this universe, the one that created all this beauty that you saw today as you drove in, He longs to have fellowship with you. God has given us prayer that we might draw close to Him and that we might share our lives with Him. He's also given us prayer that we might see the miracle of answered prayer every single day of our lives. Stop and ask yourself for a minute, how long has it been since you've seen a miracle in your life? If it's been longer than a week, that's too long. You see, we believe in a supernatural God. We believe in a God who loves to do miracles. Are you expecting any miracles in your life today? Are you expecting anything from God today? I hope that you are. I like to kind of live in the attitude of just standing on tiptoe, waiting to see, what's God going to do in my life today? God has given us prayer also that others might be helped and encouraged and comforted. Just last night I was talking to a friend and telling her that I'd been praying for her all day, that God just seemed to lay her on my heart. And she said, oh, Hope, she said, I needed that so much. She said, you just don't know what I've gone through today. And she proceeded to tell me. And she told me how she didn't understand it, but suddenly in the midst of it, there was a peace and a comfort in her heart and a strength. So when we pray for someone, we're not just talking to the air. We're talking to God. And He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. And there I am praying in my house, and there's my friend on the other side of the city, and she's receiving strength and comfort and encouragement. Isn't that beautiful? This is what prayer is. It is also through our prayers that others are brought to Jesus. Okay, today I want to share with you some steps of prayer. But first of all, I would like to give you three things that you need to be aware of when you come to God in prayer. These are just helpful suggestions to stop and remind yourself of from time to time. First of all, when you kneel down to pray, we need to get our eyes off of our own problems and get them on God's unlimited supply. Get your eyes off of yourself. You know, so many times when we kneel down to pray, we're so burdened down with our problems and our heartaches and our desires. Listen, get your eyes off yourself and turn them instead onto God in His unlimited supply. Psalms 24:1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Do you believe that? Or is that just empty words to you? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The second thing that's good to do before you start praying is just to take a second and remind yourself that you are God's beloved child. That verse is found in 1 John 3:1. You are God's beloved child. The verse says, "See what love the Father hath given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are." You are God's child. You are the child of the King. Are you living that way today? Are you living as though you are the child of a King? Not just a king, but the King of Kings. Is this how you're living, or are you living as a spiritual pauper? And the third thing, remind yourself of, that because you are God's child, and everything belongs to Him, we can be confident that He will supply our needs. Whatever your need is, I don't care if it's a heartache need, if it's a need with your husband, your child, if it's a financial need, whatever your need is, God has promised to supply it. That verse is Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "For my God shall supply all your needs." How? "According to His riches in glory." He's promised to supply all of your needs. This is a promise of God. All of them. Let me just bring out here that He does promise to supply our needs, not all our wants and all our desires. There's a difference here. So when you kneel down to pray, just take a few minutes to remind yourself of these three things. In praying, we may not understand everything there is about prayer, but one thing we know for sure, we know that prayer is. We know that prayer works. When we pray, we see great things happen for God. And when we don't pray, we don't see very much happen, do we? So you don't have to understand everything there is about prayer in order to pray. I have never talked to anybody yet who understands everything there is about prayer. But the amazing fact, and I've seen it happen in my life, and you have too, that when we pray, we see great things happen in our own lives and in the lives of the people for whom we're praying. I like to think of prayer as the wind. We get a lot of wind. We've had a lot the last couple of days, haven't we? But I like to think of prayer as the wind. You know, we don't actually see wind, do we? You can't actually go out and look at wind. The only thing you can do is see the results of the wind. We see the power of the wind. We can feel the breeze against our face. But we do not actually see the wind. And so it is with prayer. We cannot actually capture prayer and put it under a microscope and say, this is the equation of the force of prayer. We can't do that. But we can say, this is the results of prayer in my own life and in the life of the people for whom we're praying. Why should we pray? Because God answers prayer. Can you think of a greater reason? I can't. Do you really believe that? I am sure if I went around today and asked every single one of you, do you believe God answers prayer? All of you would say, of course I do. Of course I do. But how many of you are living as though you believe God answers prayer? That's where the crux of the matter is. As my husband says, that's where the rubber meets the road. Are you really living as though you believe God answers prayer? If we were living that way, we would all be spending more time on our knees in prayer, wouldn't we? If you don't know how to pray, don't be discouraged. You're in good company. Remember, even the disciples didn't know how to pray. And they had to come to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. This morning I would like to share with you two kinds of prayer. I'm going to share, first of all, what I call an arrow prayer. The second type of prayer is the prayer of worship and intercession. We'll be talking about that most of the time today. But you know, you can't help but read through the scriptures and be impressed with how often it says, a great while before day, Jesus got up and went out to pray. And you know, if Jesus had to pray, where do we get the idea that we can get through our days without praying? The second kind of prayer is the arrow prayer. You know, a bow and arrow, you shoot these are the little arrows that we're shooting up to God all day long, every single moment of the day. I like to think of the Christian life as a moment-by-moment walk with the Lord. This moment, I belong completely to Jesus Christ. And the next moment, and the moment after that, this is what the Christian life is all about. It's a moment-by-moment walk with Jesus, and this is what arrow prayers are. It's a moment-by-moment sharing with Him. You get up in the morning and you say, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. And you go down and you start to fix breakfast, and you're shooting up little arrow prayers all the while you're fixing breakfast. When you get in the car to drive, that's a great time to just be talking to the Lord. Let's say you're sharing the heartache of a friend. They've called you on the phone or they're talking to you, and you don't know how to answer that friend. We don't know. We do not have this wisdom. But God says if we lack wisdom that we can ask of Him and He'll give it to us. So you shoot up that little arrow prayer and you say, Lord, give me the wisdom to know what to say to my friend right now. And you go through this day constantly shooting up these little arrow prayers. Prayers of request, prayers of thanksgiving. Just thank you for the day. Thank you for the beauty. Thank you that I can be here today. Thank you that I can walk. And as you go through your day in this attitude of thankfulness, you will find that you will be saying, thank you, Lord, 100 times a day for 100 different things. All right, the 9 things that I've jotted down for prayer are, first of all, you have to set time aside to pray. You are never going to wake up in the morning and suddenly discover that you've got time to pray. It just does not work that way. At least it doesn't with me. Our lives are so jam-packed full of coming and going and doing, running errands. Isn't there a period of time when all you feel that you're a chauffeur? When your children are young in that junior high period, you just feel like a chauffeur. You should have a little cap on your head and charge some money and you could really make it. But you know, our lives are busy. And unless we make time to pray, we are not going to have time to pray. And so I would like to suggest that each one of you look through your daily schedule and find out, Lord, when can I give you 15 minutes? To spend alone with you in prayer, 15 minutes out of 24 hours. People say, I don't have time for that. I say, look, if you don't have 15 minutes out of 24 hours, either your schedule is too busy or your priorities are out of order. So you have to make time. For each one of you, it will be a different time. But set some time aside each day when you are going to pray. You know, I've done a lot of thinking about this, and I put this in my book, but I think perhaps the devil's favorite word is tomorrow. He's always trying to tell me, you can pray tomorrow, Hope. Wait until tomorrow, and tomorrow comes, and I'm so busy, he says, oh, well, pray tomorrow. And the next day, you know, and it goes right on down through your whole life until you've reached the end of your lifetime, and you've missed out on much that God had waiting to give to you. Don't let the devil fool you. His favorite word is tomorrow. And if he can keep you off your knees, believe me, he is going to do every single thing in his power that he can. All right, so praying has to be important enough that you're going to make time to pray. You know, we make time to do everything that we want to do, don't we? You all look so beautiful this morning. You all made time to comb your hair. You all made time to have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. We make time to eat. We make time to sleep. We make time to ski. We make time to do everything that we want to do. But somehow it never occurs to us that we must make time to pray. It is never going to just happen. Your time with God has to be important enough to you that you want to make time to pray. You want to set time aside. The second thing is that we need to find a quiet place where we can pray. Jesus said this was so important that if the only quiet place in your house was the closet, then you're to go in the closet and sit on the floor with your shoes and pray. Our house is so busy, sometimes there's 200 people passing through it a week. There are many times when the only quiet place in our house is the bathroom. And I have gone and shut the door and sat on the floor and had my time of prayer. That was the only place that was quiet. But try to find a quiet place. Usually your bedroom is fairly quiet. I would suggest that you make your bedroom, well, in my class on the home, those of you who have taken it, I've given you that assignment. You're to make your bedroom the prettiest room in the house. But I won't get off onto that subject this morning. But I would suggest that you work on your bedroom. Make it a pretty place where it's peaceful and it's clean and it's neat and it's there's a feeling of calmness and tranquility when you walk into your bedroom. And you can go in there and pray. Under a quiet place, I've jotted down three things that have been helpful to my own life. First of all, I would suggest that you kneel down when you pray. We know that positions are not important, but I feel that this is a sign of respect to God. That you kneel down when we pray. You know, if you're a Protestant, I am, but you know, I think the Catholics and the Episcopalians have it way over us many times because, you know, they get to kneel down in their church. We Protestants don't get to kneel down. In fact, if you kneel down in your church, everybody would look at you and wonder if you were sick or something. They think you were fainting and we better help that lady or something. We can't kneel down in our churches, and I think that this is a shame many times. But I believe that when we kneel down, this is an outward sign of the inward respect that we have for God. Secondly, under a quiet place, I would suggest that you pray out loud. Not in a loud voice like I'm speaking today, but in an audible whisper, because this helps you to keep your mind on what you're praying. Haven't you found that when you kneel down to pray, your mind begins to wander? And if you just sit there with your lips zipped up tight, your mind is going to wander. So I would suggest that you pray in an audible whisper or in a quiet voice. This will help you to keep your mind on your prayer. The third thing is to write your request down. And I would like to suggest that you buy a little tiny notebook. You can buy them in the dime stores. With a little loose leaf notebook, and that you have a page for your husband, a page for your children, pages for the people that you've promised to pray for. Keep this little notebook, and as God answers your prayer, turn the page over and write the answers down, the great things that God does in your life. So many times I have women say, "The Lord never answers my prayer." You know, if you keep a record, I'd like to challenge you. If you keep a record for 1 month of every answer to prayer that God gives you, and you get that little piece of paper out at the end of the month and read it over and see what he's done in your life during the past month, you'll be amazed. So let me encourage you to do that. Step number three is to say a prayer of protection, that the thoughts and the cares of the day will not crowd in upon you. Listen, while you're kneeling down to pray, you are going to devote that time to God. I like to picture myself with a circle of light. And I'm right there in the middle, and this circle is all around me, and it's God's circle of protection. And while I'm praying, all the thoughts and the cares of the day are not going to crowd in upon me. We'll come back to this in a minute and tell another reason why this is so important. Step number four is meditation and worship. Before you even say anything to the Lord, you need to take time to be quiet before him and just worship him. You know, we haven't been taught to worship, have we? I know I haven't. And what helps me in my time of worship is to just kneel down and to picture a beautiful, quiet scene. Maybe it's the Swiss Alps. Just picture myself walking through the hills in the Swiss Alps. Perhaps walking with Jesus as we go along together. But picture a quiet scene. And then what I have done is I've gone through my Bible and I have marked all the Psalms of praise. And I flip over my Bible to one of those Psalms of praise, and I read them. You know, the Psalms are so beautiful. And David expresses the words that I feel in my heart, but I do not have the words to put them into words. And so, say a prayer that God would take these words in the Psalms and make them a part of your own life. All prayer must contain this element of quietness and worship. The psalmist tells us, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Be quiet before God. Just take a minute. I like to, when I kneel down and have my time of worship, I just like to spend a few minutes breathing. I just breathe in all of God's love and peace, and then I breathe out all the frustration and tensions and anxiety. And I breathe that way. Just breathe in God's peace, breathe out the tensions and anxieties. And thank God that He is there with you. Along with your prayer of meditation, of course, comes the prayer of praise. And I like to think of praise as putting our faith in action. You know, this is an act of our will. We choose to praise God. I want you to write this sentence down. You live in the darkness from what you learned in the light. You live through the darkness from what you learn in the light. And I just want to say that all of us are going to be called upon to go through dark days from time to time. Life is not one big bowl of cherries, is it? We've all found that out. There are heartaches. There are disappointments. There are losses in our life. And I want to tell you that the way you're going to get through them is from what you learned when things were going good. The strength, the spiritual strength that you gained when things were going good. I like to think of our time of darkness as a tunnel, you know. It has two openings. There's the beginning of the tunnel where we enter this dark period that we're going through, but also there is a leaving of the tunnel. You are not going to be in that period of life for always. It might seem like it when you're going through it, but you're not. But you're going to get through that tunnel from what you learned when things were going good. I have a very dear friend who lost her little 5-year-old child. And she said, "You know, Hope, for 3 months, I couldn't even read my Bible or pray. And the only thing that got her through that period was the strength that she had built up all these years in Jesus Christ. And the other thing that got her through it was the prayer of her friends." And, you know, this is again goes back to what we said today, that our prayers give strength and encouragement. Through our prayers, our friends are strengthened and helped. And this is how she got through that dark period in her life, because she could not even pray for 3 months. And she leaned on the prayers of her friends. And she leaned on what she had learned when things were going good. And this carried her through this dark tunnel. When you're going through a situation like this, and not even when you're going through a period of darkness, it doesn't have to be that, but there's a question that I ask myself many, many times every day, and that is, Lord, what is your will for me in the midst of this situation? In the midst of this heartache, Lord, what is your will for me now, this moment? Not even tomorrow, but in the midst of this heartache right now, what is your will for me? And you see, God takes that prayer and He answers it. I had an illustration of this, many illustrations, but one I want to share with you. When my children are all gone right now, and my daughter got married a year ago, last August. Many of you were at her wedding. And it was shortly after she was married that Harry had to take a trip, and he was gone for 3.5 weeks. And it was my first experience to be totally alone in the house. And I remember after Harry had been gone about 2 weeks, and I'd eaten this little dinner all by myself, and I missed my children so much, and I missed Debbie so much, and it was also new to me being alone. And I remember after dinner, I was so lonely, I sat down in the living room, and I just sobbed. I just sobbed. I was so lonely. And I thought I was never going to feel good again. I was sure I wasn't. And then the Lord stopped me and He said, "Wait a minute, Hope." He said, "I want you to praise me right now in the midst of this situation. I said, oh, Lord, you can't mean that now. I'm sitting here crying. You know, you've got to give me, I got to have some time to cry. He says, that's okay, you can cry, but I want you to praise me while you're crying. And so I began to praise the Lord. I praised the Lord for my children. I praised the Lord that I was not really alone, that Jesus was there with me. And then came my question that I asked myself so many times a day. Okay, Lord, what is your will for me in the midst of this? In the midst of this loneliness, what is your will for me? And he said, I want you to go down and play the piano. Oh, so I said, all right, you have to be obedient. That's the one thing. When you ask the Lord what is his will for you in the midst of that, you have to be obedient. So I didn't feel like it. Playing the piano was the last thing I felt like doing. But I dragged myself down there with tears streaming down my cheeks. And I sat down there and I began to play the piano. And you know, it was a beautiful thing to watch what happened. I just, all this release and all this tension, all the loneliness, everything began to leave. And I went through all my classical music and I got out my hymns and I began singing. And I had the best evening. I didn't even go to bed till around 11:30 that night. And so it's beautiful to see. And I would like to encourage you to stop and ask yourself this question. When you're in the middle of an argument with your husband, now that takes real self-control. You say, and you're just fighting and you're so mad and you're sure you're right. And then you stop and you say, Lord, what is your will for me in the midst of this? And he says, I want you to shut up. Oh, but Lord, I got so many good things to say to him. He says, no, you be quiet. And listen, your obedience, you see, the two go hand in hand. God, what is your will for me right now in the midst of this situation? And then your obedience, you obey what God tells you. But when you do this, you see, this turns our circumstances into something positive, something that we can accept. When you begin praising God in the midst of everything. Now, he doesn't tell us that we have to praise him for everything, but he tells us in everything, give thanks. Okay? So, this praising is a part of our worship to God. All right? Step number 5 is inner listening. And then we'll take a break. All right, inner listening. This is a very important part of our prayer time, and I think it's a part that most of us neglect. By the way, these steps do not have to be in order, okay? You can put them in any order you want. I'm just suggesting them this way today. But inner listening, take a few moments to listen to what God has to say to you. You know, we no longer listen today, do we? We don't know how to listen to our husbands. We really don't know how to listen to our children, and we scarcely know how to listen to one another. Is it any wonder, then, that we don't know how to listen to God? When you come to this part of your prayer, just take a minute and say, Lord, what do you have to say to me today? And then be quiet. Give him a chance to say something. So many times we go to God in prayer and we have this long list of things we want to ask him about and tell him about and everything, and we never take time to listen to what God has to say to us. Learn to develop this talent of listening. It is something that we learn. It is not something that comes overnight, but let me tell you that the rewards are worth it 100% as you learn to listen to God. Just be quiet. Whether he's saying anything to you or not, just sit there and be quiet in his presence. If he has something to say to you, he will bring it to your mind. And this is why it's so important that in step number 3, you pray for this circle of protection to surround you. Then you have the confidence that God's protection is surrounding you, and the thoughts that he brings to your mind during this inner listening are from God. You see, you can trust them to be from God. Also, this is why I like to read my Bible before I pray, because many times God will bring to my mind something that I had just read in his word. And it will just hit me like a bolt of lightning. And this is God's message to me for the day, you see. So take time to listen. I think for every 10 people that say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, there are perhaps 9 who say, hear, Lord, for thy servant speaketh. And this is our attitude in prayer. Lord, I'm going to talk to you now, and you just be quiet and listen to me. But you see, we said at the beginning that prayer was a conversation between two friends who love and understand one another. And a conversation involves one or more people, doesn't it? What I'm doing here is not a conversation. This is a speech, unfortunately. I wish it was more of a conversation. All right, under inner listening, there are three things happening that will happen. First of all, God brings to your mind someone who needs prayer at that very moment, such as yesterday when I was praying. I had no idea to pray for my friend who lives across town. But as I was listening to God, God laid her on my heart in such a strong way. And I'm sure that you've all had this experience happen to you as well, that just out of the clear blue sky, God will lay someone on your heart. Maybe it's someone you hadn't thought of in a long, long time. I had a beautiful illustration. I tell about this in my book, but I want to repeat it here because it was one of the most beautiful experiences in my life. A couple years ago, it was around Christmas time, and I received a phone call. I didn't receive the phone call yet, but I was going to go downtown shopping, and I was going to buy some material to make a Christmas skirt. And I was standing in the bathroom combing my hair, and I had told the Lord that I was going to pray at 1 o'clock that day. So I wanted to get downtown and get this skirt material before it was all gone. Well, as I was combing my hair, it seemed that the Lord said, "Hope, I would like you to stop and go and pray now." And I said, "But Lord, I told you I was going to pray at 1 o'clock today." And I went on combing my hair and getting ready. And again, he said, "No, I want you to go and pray now." And again, I said, "Lord, I've got to get downtown and get that material. You know I'm going to pray at 1 o'clock today." And I went ahead combing my hair. And finally, it was though the Lord shouted at me in a loud voice, and he said, "I want you to stop what you're doing now and go and pray." Wow, I dropped my comb, and I went down, and I knelt down beside my bed, and I said, really rather flippantly, "Well, Lord, here I am. Now what do you want me to pray about?" Wasn't a very nice attitude. And he didn't say anything for a minute. And then he said, "I want you to pray for your father." I didn't know how to pray for my father, and I asked the Lord to show me. And I began to pray that God would be with my father at that very moment, that my father would be very conscious of God's presence and God's love, that he would know he wasn't alone, and that there would be a sense of peace flowing through my father. And then the Lord brought to my mind that verse in Psalms 23 that says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And I saw a beautiful picture in front of my eyes, and it was of a green valley. It was a dark green valley. And on the other side of the valley were these brilliant, bursting golden clouds. And as I looked, I don't get visions often, by the way, but as I looked, I saw the backs of two people walking across this dark valley. And I recognized them as the back of Jesus and the back of my father. And Jesus was holding my father's hand, and they were walking across this valley together. And I knelt there quietly for some time, and then I got up from my knees. I did go down and get this material for my skirt. When I came back in the house, the phone was ringing, and it was my sister calling from California. And she said, "Hope," she said, "I just want to tell you that Daddy went to be with the Lord this morning." And as we talked and cried on the phone together, we discovered that the very time I was on my knees in prayer for my father was the time that God called him home to be with himself. And you know, this was a tremendous comfort to me in the weeks that followed, because I remember feeling so sad that my father had to die in a hospital bed all alone. And the Lord kept saying to me, "No, Hope, he didn't die alone. Don't you remember? I was there with him." And I'd say, "Oh, yes, Lord, I remember. Thank you for reminding me." And the other thing it brought out to me is that, you know, we don't have to cross that valley alone. God has promised to go across that valley with us. And you know, this is one of the most beautiful experiences that I have ever had in my life. And I shudder when I think how close I came to missing out on that. And I began to wonder, how many other things have I missed in my life by not taking time to listen to what God has to say to me? So let me encourage you to develop this talent, develop this gift of inner listening. The second thing that happens under inner listening, and we'll come back to this later on is that God gives you guidance on what to pray for and how to pray for it. And who to pray for. I can't pray for everybody that asks me. I'd be praying all day if I did. There's no way I can, you see. But God will show you, Lord, who should I pray for right now? And how should I pray for that person? That person that's so ill. I was praying for a friend of mine who had some blood clots in her legs, and they were moving through her body. And I didn't know how to pray for her, but I can only be faithful to God and show me how he tells me to pray. And I said, Lord, how should I pray for my friend? And I felt that God wanted me to pray for her complete healing. Now, he might show somebody else to pray another way. I don't care. But I have to be faithful and obedient to God and pray the way he shows me how to pray. And so I did. I prayed that God would completely heal her. And it was a beautiful thing to watch the way these blood clots began to be dissolved and how she was soon well. But you see, we need to ask for God's guidance on how should I pray for this situation? Who should I pray for? What is your will in the midst of this situation? And you see, God will show you. This is an inner listening. He is going to show you how to pray. And then you can go ahead with full faith and pray with faith, believing that God is going to answer your prayer. The third thing under inner listening is that God brings to our hearts or our minds some place where we've failed him. A sin. Some of us don't like that word, but that's, you can call it a fault or some act of disobedience, some place where you failed him in the last 24 hours. He will bring this to your mind. And this brings us to step number 6, which I will be talking about after we take our break. I want to pass these out to you. We're going to have a 15-minute break. I'm going to pass these out right over there. And Nancy, do you want to pass these to the woman in the middle? I would like to, Marcia, would you pass those out over there, please? I would like you to take this little paper that I'm passing out to you. If you don't have to go to the bathroom and you don't need another cup of coffee or anything, I would like you for the next 15 minutes to just go out in this beautiful fresh air, keep an eye on your clock, and pray this over to God. The four things that we have listed there. Just offer this to God in faith and in prayer believing. Along with this, I would like you to ask that God would help you to become a woman of prayer. And we'll be talking more about this in our second session together. So I would encourage you during these next 15, 20 minutes that we have to just go out and spend some time alone with God. If it's too windy, you can just find a quiet little nook someplace and pray to him and offer your life to him and ask him to teach you how to pray. And then go over these little things that we've jotted down on the list and apply them to your own life. Okay, we will be meeting back here at 11:30, okay? It's 10 after 11 now, by the way, going by my watch. Okay, I will be selling the book back there as well, so, yes. Are there any more? I had 100 run off. Good, thank you. Here's some more, too. Let me encourage you to keep this in your Bible or by your bed and go over it every day. It is amazing how the strength and the comfort that God will give you from this. This is true. Lord, I know you're planning something wonderful for me in my life. Do you believe that? That God is planning something wonderful for you and something exciting? Lord, I know that you, I don't know just how you're going to solve my problem, but I know you have something in mind for me, and I thank you for it. That problem that you're going through, listen, God has a solution to it, and you don't know what the answer is, but God has something for you, and you thank him already for the solution to that problem that he has. The third one, Lord, I know that you are going to use me in ways that I do not know. But I expect you have something around the corner. You are in control. Listen, you know the Christian life is the most exciting life in all the world. There should never ever be a bored Christian. There are so many things for we as Christian women to be doing. God has something exciting for you. He has a plan for you. He has a way where He wants to use you to help other people. And the fourth thing, just spend a few minutes thanking and praising God for what He's done for you in the past, and on the basis of that, for all that God is planning to do for you in the future. Keep this in your Bible and go over it every day. Okay, we'll take a break and we will get back.